Did you hear that he lost his job? I don't know how they're going to get married.
And I heard that they had a huge fight the other day, and that she threatened to kick him out. I wouldn't be surprised.
I've noticed Sarah hasn't been volunteering lately. Do you think something's wrong?
I noticed the new family always sits in the back. Do you think they're trying to avoid?
Can't believe they let their kids do that.
Did you see what Lisa was wearing last Sunday?
I think the choir director might be sitting down soon.
Words matter. My words matter. And if you don't believe that, I just want you to think about the last argument that you got into. It was probably centered around words that were said or weren't said. Words matter. When I was a kid, I grew up in a small church, and in this church, we would sing a bunch of hymns, and during that time, during that worship time, all the kids were actually in the worship center, in the worship service with them, and then after the worship was over, we'd have a time of like an object lesson for kids. Maybe some of you grew up in a church like that, but an elder or a deacon would come to the edge of the stage, and all the kids that were in the room would come and have a seat on the stage. And the elder or deacon would give an object lesson to all of the children before they went back to kids' church. And I can remember very vividly one of these moments, one of these times. The deacon pulled out a tube of toothpaste. And he said, "Hey, I need a volunteer." And at first no one volunteered because who wants to brush your teeth in front of everyone? That's weird. Okay. And then he said, "Well, what I want you to do is I want to have a volunteer to squeeze out the tube of toothpaste." Now, that was cool. So all the kids were like, "Yeah, me. So he picked a kid and gave them a plate and told him, "Squeeze out the tube of toothpaste." And so they did, like this. This is fun, actually. If you ever need like a moment just to like, just do this, okay? It even smells good after. He squeezed it all out. And all the kids, all of us were like, "Oh, that's awesome." Like, whoa, because at home, if you were to do that, you're in trouble, right? And so we thought that was so cool. And then he was like, "Okay, I need another volunteer." And I raised my hand. I was like, me. And he said, "Okay, Taylor, come here." Some of you in the room might know where this is going as adults, but as a second grader, I had no clue. And he said, "Okay, Taylor, here's what I want you to do. I want you to put all of the toothpaste back in the tube." I was like, "I got this." Okay. I gave him that look like, "I got this." I turned to my buddy. I was like, "Dude, this is easy. Like, dude doesn't know that he called on me." And so I started to try, right? And I'm like trying to get it back in. I'm doing like, trying to like, if I squeeze it, it suctions. Like I know that's supposed to happen, right? And so I'm like, "Oh yeah, I got this." And then after what seemed probably was only like seconds, but for me, it felt like minutes. The deacon was like, "Okay, no, okay, we're done." All right. And I probably had made a mess. There was probably toothpaste all over the, you know, on my sleeves, on the floor. Like I had created a mess. And I remember to this day what he said after that. And it was probably the first time that I really understood the impact of my words, because he said this. He said, "Just like the toothpaste, the words that we say, once we say them, we cannot get them back. We can't get them back. They're stuck out." And usually, it is a mess. Well, welcome to Academy Christian Church. My name is Taylor, and I'm one of the student pastors here. And we've been in a three-week sermon series called Playing in the Dirt. And it's a series about gossip and the dangers of it. And so if you were here last week, we started the sermon series talking about what gossip is and what gossip isn't. And Brian kind of gave us three types of gossip, most common, especially within the church. And so the first one they talked about is this idea of prayer request gossip. And this is the one that, like, you're with a group of other Christians and you're like, I really need you to pray for my neighbor. Like, why? Well, last night, man, they were screaming so loud I could hear them from my house. And guess what? I bet they're getting a divorce. Like, you should see the way that they parent their children. Right? It becomes this gossip session, which we like to hide behind the fact that we're trying to pray for them. The second one is just thought you should know gossip. And this is the gossip where, like, we have the best intentions, right? We don't want anybody to get hurt. So if we have some dirt on somebody, right? If one of our friends is about to interact with that person, we're like, hey, just thought you should know. Ooh. So-and-so, they got, ooh, and then we go on and share it. And then the last one is just this idea of venting gossip, right? This is where we all have feelings, we all have emotions, and we tend to, maybe we have to, we think that we should share those with someone else. Well, I just need to get it out, right? I need to tell someone how hurt I've been or what they did to me. And then it becomes this gossip session where we're venting, but not only are we venting, we're letting careless words slip out of our mouth. Not just about how we got hurt, but then about them and who they are and their character and their intentions. See, I think we tend to laugh these off or think, this is not that big of a deal. But the real truth is the Bible's clear that we need to have an appropriate filter for the words that we speak. I mean, just listen to some of these verses, and I don't think they are something to laugh about. Proverbs 13:3. Those who guard their lips preserve their lives, but those who speak rashly will come to ruin. Proverbs 18:21a. The tongue has the power of life and death. James 3:5. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. Matthew 12:36. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. Ephesians 4:29a. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth. Psalms 34:13. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. See, I think God is clear, okay? God is clear that words have both influence and impact. And we just look at those passages of scripture, like we have to understand that our words are powerful. I mean, think about some of those words. If you speak rashly, you will come to ruin. It can give you life, but also give death. It is like a small spark that can set a forest on fire. There'll be judgment for people who speak carelessly. Our words can become corrupt and evil. And see, I think the reason God's word has so much to say about our words is because God knows the power of words. God knows the power of words. And these verses are straightforward about the potential damage of our words. And that is why we're spending a few weeks to talk about one of the many ways that we can use our words for evil, which is this idea of gossip. But gossip is just so irresistible. I mean, let's be real. How often do you hear or say, I shouldn't tell you this, but, or it's none of my business, but, or have you heard the latest about, and our ears perk up, our eyebrows raise, we lean in, our voices lower, we look around to make sure no one else is listening, and we're like, dude, yeah, share it, let's go, and we're hooked. See, I think everyone experiences gossip. No one is safe from its tantalizing lure in our life, but no one is safe from its evil as well. Will Rogers says, the only time people dislike gossip is when you gossip about them. So why is it irresistible? I mean, it's just like me and my friends who thought it was so much fun to squeeze the toothpaste out of the toothpaste tube. It is so much fun. And we tend to find gossip irresistibly fun. I mean, if we're honest with ourselves, you and I do want to gossip. You and I love to gossip. It's something we love to do. Because gossiping can be fun and addictive and provide a short burst of guilty pleasure. Like, we love those moments when we get bored and we want to entertain ourselves by snacking on the shameful stories of other people's lives. Or maybe we just know something that nobody else knows, and so we just can't wait to share the inside scoop. Or maybe we're mad at someone. We're mad at someone, we're hurt by them, and we crave the satisfaction of character assassination at their expense, without them even knowing they're in danger. See, gossip can be hard to resist. Proverbs 26:20, starting in verse 20, says this: without wood, a fire goes out. Without a gossip, a quarrel dies down. As charcoal to embers and as wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome person for kindling strife. The reality is, we want a hot fire. No one likes to sit at a campfire that's dying away, that's cold. And so when that fire is starting to go out, what do we want to do? We want to throw more wood on it, right? We want to throw more fuel on it. We want to get it going. And I think that's the same way with our words and how we gossip about others. When someone else starts, we're like, yeah, let's go. We want this to be hot. And it's our broken human nature that wants that. But King Solomon goes on and he talks in verse 22, says, the words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost parts. See, choice morsels are tasty things that we want to quickly devour because they taste so good and they're the most attractive, most addictive things to eat. Like that bowl of potato chips, right, sitting on your counter. You just can't leave them alone. I don't know about you, if I open up a bag of tortilla chips, right, it's done. It's over. If I'm like watching like college football or something, like I will eat that whole bag of chips in one sitting. It's just so good. Or for maybe some of you, it's that bowl of candy that your kids just got at trunk or treat, right? Like it's sitting there. And as parents, we have the obligation to take a parent tax, right? Like we have to. It's sitting there as we go by. It's for me. I did that yesterday on my way out, actually, and I took some Lifesavers, the gummy Lifesavers, and I took them out of the bag, and Cordy was like, my wife was like, hey, did you just take those Lifesaver gummies? I was like, yeah. She's like, ooh, Evelyn's gonna get you. And I was like, what? She's like, she was talking about those and how she wanted them. And so I looked back, I was like, oh, it's okay, I took them from Ezra, we're good, okay? He doesn't care. It's just so easy. See, a lot of times the best tasting things are the worst for us. And isn't it sad that when it comes to food, the things that are the worst are so, they taste so good. And I think our minds seem to have an affinity for the same type of diet. And we will spend a lot of time rationalizing our diets. I do that all the time. I work out maybe 3 times a week, and me and my wife have an ongoing joke that I work out to maintain, not to maintain my physical physique, okay, but to maintain my diet, to maintain I can eat whatever I want. That's why I work out. And I tell myself when I grab that bowl of Reese's Puffs at 10 o'clock at night, I tell myself, well, I worked out yesterday, so it's all good. We all know that's not true. But I think we make some unhealthy rationalizations when it comes to our gossip as well. That we start to make rationalizations of why it's okay for me to talk about other people. Why is it okay for me to commit the sin of gossip? And so what I want to do is just take a couple of minutes just to talk about four unhealthy rationalizations when it comes to gossip. The first one is, it's accepted. It's accepted in our culture. In fact, not only is it accepted, but it's a lot of times encouraged. I mean, just look at any reality TV show known to man, right? The whole thing is about talking about other people and spilling the tea and all those things. Like, and we just, we want to eat it up. We love it. And in our workplaces, we even have a place where we can go and talk about gossip, right? And we call it, we have a name for it. It's like the water cooler talk, right? Like, we have the spaces to do it. And we think in our mind, like, everyone's doing it. It's all good. It's accepted. See, in our culture, it is accepted to gossip about others. But let me remind you what Romans 12:2 says. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, the reality is, just because the world says it's okay does not mean, as Christ followers, we should say it's okay and we should do it. See, as Christ followers, we need to live differently. We need to not conform to the patterns of this world, and we need to transform our mind. We need to renew our mind and say, you know what? I know everybody else thinks it's okay, but I'm not going to. I'm gonna think differently. I'm going to speak differently. The second unhealthy rationalization is that gossip makes life more interesting. You ever had that moment when you're with people, your friends or your family, and the conversation becomes quiet and seems to start dying down? Maybe you're around a bonfire or sitting in the living room, and we tend to fill the gap. When the conversation starts to lower, we tend to fill the gap. Did you hear? Ah, so-and-so, oh my gosh, can you believe it? And why do we do that? Well, we think it's going to make the conversation more fun. It's going to make the interaction. We're going to have a more interesting conversation and time together. So we start to talk about everybody else, and then people start pulling things in. Oh, yeah, I heard. Oh, yeah, me too, right? And it becomes this, like, oh, it's going to make life more interesting if I just share all the facts and juicy things about everybody else. But let me also remind you of a verse, John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Hey, guess what? If you want to have a full life, an interesting life, follow the ways of Jesus. That's going to do it for you. See, talking about people is not going to do it for you, because the reality is the lie the enemy wants to sell you is that, hey, talking about people is going to bring excitement and bring an interesting conversation. But the only thing that it actually brings is death. Because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, to destroy your relationships, to steal your reputation, to steal your witness. And when we talk about people, that's all it does. And so if you want life, follow the ways of Jesus. Number three, when I gossip, I am popular. I get everyone's attention. Here's the thing, we all tend to want to hear gossip. And so when someone is sharing the tea, they get all the attention. We all start to listen, even if we know it's wrong. We might not say anything or add anything, but boy, we give it attention. We want to listen in. We want to get closer. See, when people are sharing things about others, they tend to get the attention of us. And let's be honest with ourselves. All of us want attention. Maybe it's just attention on our own terms. None of us really want unwanted attention, but we like attention. But if we're getting that attention, it's like that tasty treat. We want just a little bit more. Man, when I talked about that person, man, everybody came. Everybody listened. They leaned in. They asked questions. They thought I was cool. They thought, oh, it was so awesome. I want that again. But let me remind you of what Jesus said to his disciples in John 13:35. This is the attention that we should be seeking. He says, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you gossip. No. I was making sure you're paying attention. If you love one another. See, that's the attention we should be seeking. As Christ followers, we should be seeking the attention of people saying, wow, like the way that they love people, I know that they are a disciple of Jesus. That is the attention I want. See, I think too many times we want the attention based on not right things. And what Jesus is saying is like, hey, man, if you want any kind of attention in this world, have it be attention about that you follow me and that the glory can be brought back to who I am, not attention directly toward who you are. So the way we do that is when we love other people. Frankly, I want the attention where people say, wow, man, Taylor loves people well. He speaks about people well. He is a follower of Jesus. And last on unhealthy rationalization is if I put others down, somehow I will feel up. The worse I paint the lives of others, the more my life looks better. And this is a common lie that most of us have believed at some point in time in our life. If I just talk about everybody else's problems, everybody else's issues, everybody else's juicy stuff, if I talk about those things, no one will focus on my problems, my issues, the things that I'm struggling with. So what I do is I just talk about everybody else. And see, what happens is we start to actually distract ourselves from our own problems and our own issues. And we think, oh, like this is making me feel better because I don't have to share anything. And I can just keep it to myself. And so I just talk about everybody else's and nobody asks about mine. But let me give you a proverb, Proverbs 16:24. It says, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Because here's the reality. When you talk bad about others, it will not make you feel better in the long run. The only thing that can make you feel better is speaking life. Speaking life. If you want a sweet soul full of healing to the bones, speak life to others. Speak life about others. And guess what? That will renew your own spirit. And you don't have to distract yourself from the things that are going on in your own life. There can be healing. There can be sweetness. I love what it says. It says words are like a honeycomb. I don't know if you ever cut open a honeycomb. Like all the bees are there. They're all working together in community. That could be your life. If you speak words of life, speak words of life. Now, some of you are sitting here thinking that, man, I don't struggle with the sin of gossip. So like, man, why are we doing 3 weeks of this? This could be done in 1 week. Could have been done last week. Could have got it. Good. Bye. 3 weeks of this? Well, I just want to remind you of a verse found in 1 John. And before I speak it, I want to say I'm not saying this out of judgment. I'm not saying this out of condemnation. I'm saying this out of, like, hey, we probably need to examine our own life. Because 1 John 1:8 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. See, I think sometimes the enemy wants us to deceive ourselves and say, well, I don't struggle with that. I'm good. I don't talk about people. I don't talk about my neighbor. I don't talk about my coworker. I don't talk about the people around me. I'm good. But let me throw something out there. Let me give you an example, because the reality is that, like, committing gossip, the sin of gossip, is not just about with people you know. It could be with people you don't know. Let me give you an example. Can you believe, fill in the blank with whichever presidential candidate you don't like, said or did yesterday? Can you believe that they think that way? Oh my goodness. You see, I think sometimes, the enemy tricks us into believing that if my words will never get back to that person, then it's not gossip. That's not true. It's not true. So you need to understand that gossip is not sinful based on who you're talking about. It is sinful based on where your heart is. It's not sinful about who you're talking about. sinful about where your heart is. And we are in a time and a place in our country where it is really simple and really easy to start throwing things about everybody and talking about everybody. I mean, if you didn't know, we have an election next week, right? And we can easily start spewing careless words. But those words still have impact. And here's what scripture says, Matthew 12:34, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And so the things that are actually coming out of your mouth is what's actually inside your heart. It's the things that are going on in here. See, that's what gossip is. It's spewing what's going on already inside our heart. And so I want to wrap up with Ephesians 4:29. It says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Do not gossip about others, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Guys, words are powerful. And we can easily get caught in the lie that it's fun, that it's acceptable, that it's okay. But I think going back to the toothpaste, when we start spewing our words in ways that they were not intended to spew, it gets messy. You see, here's the cool thing about toothpaste. Is that when you use toothpaste the right way, when you put it on a toothbrush, okay, it actually, the purpose is to make what is messy, what is dirty, to be clean and minty fresh. That's the purpose of toothpaste. And see, I think a lot of times we use our words in the wrong way. And it creates mess. But I believe if we use our words how God intended us to use them, if we use our words to build each other up, to be helpful, to speak life, when we do that, it benefits them and it benefits us. See, when we use our words in the right way, it is beautiful and it strengthens relationships. And so next week, we're going to wrap this series up and talk about how we actually deflate gossip in our life. And so I want to challenge you to come back next week to get some practical tips on how I actually do this. How do I stop gossiping about others? But until then, I want to leave you with this prayer, because here's the thing. I believe some of you in this room, we don't need to wait till next week, because some of us are struggling this week. Some of us are struggling with the words that we speak right now, myself included. And so if you struggle with the words that come out of your mouth, I want to challenge you to pray this prayer. And it's found in the book of Psalms. And here's what I want to challenge you to do. Maybe you pray it when you're brushing your teeth in the morning, right? Just a reminder. Maybe you pray it when you brush your teeth at night. Or some of you who brush your teeth in the middle of the day, I don't know. You bring your toothbrush to work with you. Or maybe you need to pray it when you're about to enter into those spaces where gossip happens. Maybe it's your lunch break at work when you get around the other coworkers. Maybe it's when you get into your office and the people around you. Maybe it's when you're driving home from work, because you know when you get home, you're gonna spew careless words to your spouse. Maybe it's when you're calling up your friends or talking to them on Marco Polo. You need to speak this prayer. It's found in Psalm 141, verse 3. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Let me say that again. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep a watch over the door of my lips. And maybe you need to pray that prayer today, where you need to say, Lord, help me with my words. Guard my mouth. Watch over the doors of my lips so I don't spew careless words about others. And so I'm just going to give you 30 seconds. And some of you in this room, maybe you need to pray for forgiveness. Because maybe this week you have caught yourself gossiping about other people, talking about them. And you need to ask for forgiveness, because it is a sin. And maybe others, you in this room, maybe you did great this week, but you just want to pray this prayer over this next week, that you can continue to live out what it looks like to speak words of life and not of death. So if you bow your heads, take 30 seconds, pray. Father God, just thank you for your word and the impact that it has on our life. But also, God, we know that our words have impact on others. And so, Father God, I ask and pray forgiveness when we have gossiped about other people. And maybe we rationalize it. But God, help us just to realize that it is sinful and it is wrong. And so forgive us for those moments. But God, also in this moment, we pray the prayer that's found in the book of Psalm. Set a guard over our mouths. Keep watch over the doors of our lips today and every day moving forward. God, we love you and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.